You know, you guys are growing up in a crazy world, okay? If you haven't discovered that, the older you get, you're going to realize this is a crazy world. And the majority of the world, you know what? They don't like God. They don't follow God. They don't believe in God. And they don't like it that you do. And so the older you get, the more you're going to recognize that. We love preaching the gospel. And so, again, all that to say, I'm here to help you. As Brother Fry said, my wife, Elena is her name. She is not here. And so this week and this trip with me here out east, because she's about to have a baby in August. And so she just got to the point where she's, you know, just traveling was getting very uncomfortable for her. And so I wish you guys could have met her. She's a wonderful person, most wonderful person in the world. I'm a little biased, but, you know, that's what I think. And we have three children, of course, our fourth on the way, a little baby girl in August. But one of my, as Brother Fry said, my oldest son, Dominic, is with me here these next few weeks. And then we also have a 7-year-old and an 18-year-old. So quite a spread, all right? But anyways, that's a little bit about me. And so all that to say, I'm so excited to be here, looking forward to the week, and please, please, please come ask me questions. I'd love to get to know you, and we want to be a help to you this week. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 3 in the Word of God tonight. 1 Samuel in your Bible, and chapter 3, 1 Samuel. Chapter 3. I am assuming this, but maybe I shouldn't assume. I just want to ask. And so I would guess the majority of us, how many of you guys have been in church all of your life? All of your life you've been in church. Okay? All right, that's what I was thinking. This is probably a familiar story to most of us, if not all of us here tonight. But I want to ask the Spirit of God to allow us to take a fresh look at it and to really set the tone for this week. And if we understand some of the principles that are found here in 1 Samuel chapter 3, again, it's really gonna set a good foundation for where we want to go the rest of this week. And if we have the heart, the mindset, the attitude that young Samuel had, then again, I'm really excited about the week because God's going to bless us. I know that because God responds to young people, young boys, young girls. He responds to counselors and staff members and all of us. He responds to people who say, Lord, here am I. Lord, speak to me. Lord, I want to obey you. He responds to those people, all right? And so if we all, as going into this week, and I want you to know, I'm right there too. Because Mr. Will, you know what? I got problems. I got struggles. The devil's trying to defeat me as well, okay? And so I need to hear from God. I need to make sure that I'm walking with God. And so all of us, all right, whether you're a camper, whether you're a counselor, you're a staff member, the preacher, all right, all of us, I want us all to have this mindset as we begin this week, all right? So that's where we're going tonight. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 1, all right? If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, I'll say that a lot, so some of you are a little bit slow on that, okay? But anyways, here we go. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out of the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I call not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. I want to preach tonight on this subject as we begin our week together. A message simply entitled, Speak and I'll Obey. Speak and I'll Obey. Let's pause. Let's ask for God to really help us tonight, okay? Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for each young person that's here this week and for each staff member, each counselor, Lord. Father, we need you. Lord, that's, you know my heart tonight, Lord. I'm not just saying that, Lord. We need you desperately. I need you. And Lord, I know each of those before me tonight needs you as well, because we are weak. We're sinners. Lord, we are prone to wander. Apart from you, God, we are nothing. And so please, God, would you meet with us tonight and give us a wonderful start to this week? I pray for each young person that they would, first of all, know you personally as their Savior. And secondly, that we would have this attitude of just total obedience and wanting to hear your voice. Well, thank you for what you're going to do. Again, fill me, use me, hide me behind the cross. May you be exalted tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Again, most of us are familiar with this account. The young child Samuel, he's in the house of the Lord in Shiloh. It's called the tabernacle. Before the temple was built, that's where the presence of God was and where the worship of God took place. And young Samuel, he's a servant for Eli, the high priest. Now, we know Samuel has had a godly upbringing. His mom, Hannah, after the Lord had answered her prayers and given her a son, she dedicates him to the service of God. And so young Samuel, he's been faithfully ministering to the Lord in the tabernacle. He's been observing the worship of God and learning the law of God. But he hasn't yet received a direct revelation from God. And that's what verse 7 says. Again, verse 7 says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." It doesn't mean he didn't know about God. It means he didn't know him yet in an intimate and a personal way. He had not yet heard the specific voice of God. But that's about to change here for young Samuel. And I want to highlight tonight three simple truths from this passage that I pray will challenge all of us and encourage all of us to know God in the same way that Samuel came to know him. To know him as a God who is still speaking to us, young person, and who expects us to listen and to follow him. That's how Samuel came to know God. And that's how God wants us to know him, all of us to know him as well, okay? And so three simple truths. If you take notes, I try to make my messages as simple as possible, all right? And so I'll make it very clear what number one, what number two, what number three is, all right? So here we go. Three things tonight. Number one, I want us to realize that God's word is precious. In fact, will you say that with me? God's word is precious. Say it again. God's word is precious. One more time. God's word is precious. You'll find that I like to have you say things out loud because it gets it into our heads, okay? And I was told when I was young, when I was your guys' age, that repetition is the mother of all learning. Anybody ever heard that? Okay? Well, you guys just did, okay? So we all should raise your hand, all right? Repetition is the mother of all learning. And so when you do something over and over again, it sticks in your head, all right? So that's why we do that. But God's word is precious. Again, verse number one, look at what it says in verse number one. It says, "The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days." Now listen, young person, I never, ever want to twist scripture to make it say something that it doesn't say. So I want to explain to you what the word precious here in verse number one means, and then I'm going to tell you how I'm using that word tonight, okay? And so the word precious here in verse number one has the idea of something that was rare, something that was not common. In other words, God was not speaking to everybody in this particular time in the history of mankind, okay? And so it was precious. It was rare. It'd be like if we went out across the campground at Servant's Heart here and somebody stumbled upon a gold nugget, right? I'm assuming that would be something that would be rare around here, all right? Unless Mr. Fry is not telling me something, okay? And then I'd be out looking for all the gold nuggets. But anyways, it's something that's not common, okay? That's how this word here is being used. Now, that's not how I'm using the word. I want to be very clear about that, okay? How I'm using the word precious is how most of us in today's society would use the word. We think of something as precious as something that is dear to our hearts, right? It's something that's valuable. It's something that we love and that we cherish. But I want you to think about this with me, all right? When Samuel finally does hear directly from God, do you think that might have been a little precious to him? Do you think that maybe he cherished that experience a little bit? Do you think that when Samuel got older and he began to be, again, a great prophet of Israel and God was using him, and then in his older age, do you think maybe Samuel sat down and got a big smile across his face and remembered the time that, you know what, wow, I remember that time when I was in the tabernacle. And I remember that time when I finally came. I heard that voice, but I wasn't sure who it was yet. But I came to know that was the voice of God. Do you think that Samuel cherished that a little bit? It was precious to him? Oh, I think so. And young person, listen, what I want us to understand tonight is that God's word is still precious to us. You see, as the creator and the omnipotent ruler of the universe, what he has to say to all of us is of the utmost importance. And the fact that we have preserved what he has said to us in his word, okay, that we'll talk about here in just a second, that we have preserved for us what he has said to us. Boy, the word precious doesn't even seem to be a strong enough word. Listen, along with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living word of God, the Bible, the written word of God, is the most precious possession that we could ever have. In fact, the Bible calls itself a treasure. You guys look like a smart group, all right? I know who I'm talking to. You guys are pretty smart. And you probably think of some verses where, and you have probably memorized some verses already, where the Bible kind of refers to itself as a treasure. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, listen to this. Proverbs 2, verses 4 and 5. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. In Psalm 119, verse 72, Psalm 119, 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Psalm 119, verse 162, the psalmist said, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. So in other words, as one that found a great treasure. So if I did, as I'm walking back to my cabin tonight, if I did stumble across this gold nugget, you think I'd be excited about that? Yeah. Would you guys be excited about that? Yeah. You'd be like, whoa, look at this. This is awesome. Look at this gold nugget that I found. Now I can finally buy that whatever you're saving up to buy, right? You know, a bike or a video game or whatever it is you guys want to buy. Because gold is precious. But do you understand what the psalmist said? Psalm 119, 162, he said that he rejoiced at God's word as one that found great spoil, great treasure. And young person, listen, I love camp because camp is a time that you can get away and there's no, you know, the distractions are hopefully all mostly taken away, right, from everyday life and what's going on. And you can come to understand, you know what, this book right here, I need to start viewing this book as the treasure that it is, as being precious. And I want to memorize it, not just for points for my team, or not just to get to some ice cream party, although I like ice cream, right? Just like the next guy, okay? And so say your verses, but you ought to start memorizing God's word and loving God's word and making a decision, as we're going to talk about hopefully tomorrow morning, making a decision about every day spending time in God's word, because God's word is precious. Oh, we need to never, ever forget that. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. A lot of you guys know this, right? Psalm 19, 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure and light in the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. And the honeycomb. You see, everything, young person, listen, everything we need to know about life, that we need to know about death, about eternity, about how do we live, how should we treat our siblings, how should we treat our parents, how should we do in school, and everything about your guys' life, and what you will face as you grow up in the future, we find in the Bible. You find in God's Word. And that's why we need to make much of His Word. The Bible, of course, is inspired. Who can raise your hand tonight? I like to be a little interactive sometimes. Who can raise your hand? Tell me what the word inspired means. What does that mean when I say the Bible is inspired? Yes, sir.
Encourage?
Yeah, it encourages us? Yeah, that's not the exact idea, but it does encourage us. Yes, sir.
Inspire or inspired?
Inspired. I-N-S-P-I-R-E-D.
Someone else told the writer's words, gave them the idea.
Exactly, right? And so the word, okay, you guys can learn something tonight, okay? You can write this down if you want to. The word inspired, literally, when we talk about the Bible, literally means it was God-breathed. God-breathed. So God told people, the human authors, whether it was Moses or whether it was one of the prophets or David in the Psalms or the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, right? Or Peter. All right, God told these human authors, he led them, he moved them to write exactly what he wanted them to say. So that, again, it comes all the way down to you and me. So the word inspired means God breathed. And the Bible tells us that it's inspired, that it was given to us from God. In other words, this is not just a book that some guys say, hey, let's we think this is what God might want to say. We think this is maybe how we can get to heaven. We think that this is how God might want us to live. No, the Bible is inspired. It's actually God's book. That's why it's such a precious treasure to us, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this in verse number 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture, right? The words of the Bible are given by inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All that simply means, young person, are profitable for, again, for all of our life, for instruction. How are we supposed to live? For reproof. Oh, it tells us when we're wrong, right? And on. The Bible is inspired. The Bible is inerrant. That means it's without errors. The Bible says in Proverbs 30, verse number 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield in them that put their trust in him. Listen, right now, you guys need to settle in your mind because you're growing up in a world, and even a world where a lot of people say they're Christians, and maybe they are Christians. I'm not trying to doubt that, okay? I'm not the judge, all right? But a lot of people are saying, well, we don't really know what God has said. And this is just kind of the best guess that we have. And I'm telling you what, the Bible says every word of God is pure. Okay? It's not mixed with error. All right? The Bible is infallible. That means it will never be destroyed. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 8. The Bible says the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You guys recognize that throughout the centuries, the last several hundred years, there have been a lot of people that have tried to destroy the Bible. They don't want the Bible. They try to destroy copies of it. They take the Bible, they burn it, right? They want to destroy God's Word. But God's Word says that's not going to happen, right? It's going to stand forever. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And so this is God's book that we have. Abraham Lincoln. How many heard of Abraham Lincoln, right? He was what number of president? What number was he?
16th,
right? I thought I heard something. 16th, okay. All right, that's the number of president he was. Abraham Lincoln said this about the Bible. Abraham Lincoln said, I believe the Bible is the best gift that God has ever given man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. That's what our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, said. And so, young person, what I'm saying is that at a young age, and I know some of you are like, Brother Will, this is like the first time I'm at Servant's Heart Camp. And, you know, I'm just, whoa, what are you talking about? And I just want to play the games, and I want to eat food. And, I like food, too, and I enjoy games. And listen, right now, at the young age that you guys are, you need to understand the preciousness of the Bible, and don't ever lose that. Love the Bible. Live the Bible. Memorize the Bible. Obey the Bible. Okay? God's Word is precious. But I want to show you something else, all right? So here's number two. If you're taking notes. So number one is what? Everyone say it. What's number one? God's Word is precious. Here's number two. God wants to speak to me. Will you say that with me? God wants to speak to me. Say it again. God wants to speak to me. One more time. God wants to speak to me. Again, look at, if you're there in 1 Samuel 3, look at what it says in verse number 4. It says that the Lord called Samuel. Verse number 6, the Lord called yet again Samuel. Verse number 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Verse number 10, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. God wanted to personally speak to Samuel, and he kept speaking until he got through. He kept speaking until he got through. Now listen, young person, right? Listen. Although God's word is universal in the sense that it's been given to everyone, right? Anyone, you can go in the Dollar Tree, and you can buy a Bible, okay? And a lot of countries have had God's word translated into their language, okay? And so although the Bible is universal in the sense of It's been given to everyone. At the same time, the Bible is personal because God wants to speak to me. Now, I just want you to think about that. Again, you're a smart group of kids, I can tell already. I want you to think. And I want you to be like awed by this fact. Like God who said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Let the waters divide, you know, waters in the firmament. And God, ruler of the universe, wants to say something to you. He wants to say something to me. That's an amazing thought. You see, he had a specific message for Samuel. Now, in our text, and we're not going to talk a lot about this, but the specific message to Samuel was that Samuel would tell the high priest Eli that basically his time as high priest was coming to a close. Eli had sinned. Eli was not a good high priest, okay? He allowed his sons to sin, if you read 1 Samuel 3. And so Samuel's message, God wanted Samuel to tell Eli that, again, judgment was coming. That's the basic message, right? And so he had a specific message for Samuel. He has a specific message for us. Now, we understand that God doesn't speak audibly to man today. All right, we understand that. And so how does God speak to us today? Someone just shout it out. How does God speak to us? Through his word, right? Through the Bible. This is how God speaks to us. And yes, there is a general revelation that's been given, but he also takes his word and he can apply it to our individual circumstances. So, for example, I can get up tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, and read Proverbs chapter 3 that says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And the Lord could be saying to me, "Will, stop it. Stop thinking. Stop trying to figure out what's going on in your situation, what's going on with your home and what you got to do and different things that are going on in my life right now." He can say, "Will, stop it, stop leaning. Trust me, look to me." So at the same time tomorrow morning, Mr. Jonathan there, I'll pick on him because we have a little bit of a history here. It's good to see him again. But Mr. Jonathan can get up. He can read Proverbs chapter 3 and trust the Lord on heart. Lean not to understanding. And the Lord could be saying to him, "Hey, stop worrying about your future. Stop trying to figure this out." And again, whatever's going on in his life, I don't know, right? What I'm saying is that, do you understand what I'm saying? That God takes his word, same verse, and can apply it to whatever's going on in our lives. Isn't that amazing? That's, God has a specific word, all right? I'm going to teach you a Greek word. So you can all go home and be like, "I learned a Greek word," right? Because the New Testament, remember, was originally written in Greek. The Hebrew was, The Old Testament was written in what?
Hebrew,
a little bit of Aramaic, okay? But here's a Greek word. And the word is rhema, R-H-E-M-A, rhema, okay? And so there's a couple words in our Bible that, for instance, in the beginning, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. That's the word logos. Jesus shows us what God is, who God is. He's the revelation of God, okay? If we want to know what God's like, we look at Jesus, right? But there's another word that is a rhema, and that means it's a specific word. It's a, what's your name, buddy? Noah? That's a good Bible name right there, right? Did you build the ark? No? Okay. Have you been to the ark in Kentucky? Not yet? Okay. It's pretty cool to see. So God says, "Noah, I want you to do this," and whether with your siblings or your parents or whatever. You see, that's amazing that God has a rhema. He has a specific word for each and every one of us. All right? Samuel, in our text, Samuel didn't recognize his voice yet, God's voice yet, because he hadn't come to know it yet, all right? But this is a very important point. He gave God time to speak to him when he said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant is hearing." Now think about it. We don't know how old Samuel was. There's a good chance. What were the oldest ages? 12 here? Anybody 12? Okay. All right. There's a good chance that he could have been, right, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, maybe a little younger than that. We really don't know. And so it's a safe to say, all right, that there's a very good possibility that Samuel would have been some of your guys' ages. Okay? Now, does anybody like to sleep? Whoa! You guys, I like it too, all right? And no one doesn't like to sleep? That's okay, all right? Just picking on you then. There's a very good chance, you know, I'm thinking, all right, this happened three times, right? Samuel! Gets up, goes to Eli. Hey, what do you want? Eli, you called me. I didn't call you, go back to sleep. Okay. That was kind of weird. All right. Samuel! What's he want this time? Hey, Eli! You called me! Sam, what are you talking about? I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. If it was me, I would have been like, what is this guy's problem? What is going on? I just want a good night of sleep. He doesn't do that. Third time it happens. Finally, Eli, who's so backslidden, he's not right with God. He's wicked, okay? Eli finally recognizes, oh, maybe this is God trying to call Samuel. And Samuel, again, goes to Eli. Eli says, hey, listen, next time you hear that voice, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. What I'm trying to say is that it would have been very easy for Samuel to be like, man, I don't know. This is weird. Whatever's going on? And Eli says, he's not calling me. And now he's saying, maybe it's God. I'm just going to go to sleep. And God wants to get a hold of me. Maybe he'll get a hold of me tomorrow morning or something like that, right? But Samuel didn't do that, all right? Samuel gave God time to speak to him when he said, speak, Lord, for thy servant is hearing. You know, listen, young person, God wants to speak to us, but here's the thing. We have to give God time to speak to us every single day. And how does that take place? When we read his word. When we read his word, when we come to a preaching session just like this, and we're not thinking about, oh man, what's the game going to be tonight, or what's that? And you know, it's again, I get that. It's fun. It's fun to, when it's dark, to run around the campground and do whatever you're doing tonight, you know, and fun to get a snack. But if you want to go far in your walk with God and allow God to use you, young person, you come into a session like this and say, all right, God, speak to me. Speak, Lord. I'm hearing. What do you want me to do, God? How else do you want me to obey? Is there some sin, God, in my life that I need to really work on and confess? And that is giving God time to speak to us. As we get in his word every day, as we come to a preaching session, we've got to give God time to speak to us. God spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. He spoke to Noah. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Moses and Joshua and Gideon, the prophets and the disciples and the apostle Paul. And he spoke from heaven. When Jesus was baptized, he said, this is my beloved son. Hear him, right? In whom I am well pleased. He spoke to great missionaries of the past, like Adoniram Judson, Hudson Taylor, and George Mueller, and Jim Elliot. He spoke to me. Mr. Will, he spoke to you? Yeah. Again, I didn't hear an audible voice. But when I was 8 years old, do I got any 8-year-olds in here tonight? Anybody? All right. You guys is eight. When I was 8 years old, God said, you're a sinner. But I love you, and Jesus died for you. And you need to come and trust me. And man, I remember that. I remember when I was 8 years old. I can remember like it was yesterday. And I was in a church service. And the preacher was preaching. And I remember getting out of my pew as an 8-year-old boy. And I came to the front. And I said, Pastor, I'm not saved. I need to know where I'm going when I die. And that night I called upon the Lord, and he saved me. He spoke to me. Man, I can tell you, we adopted our oldest two children, and I can tell you, I can tell you about that and how I was very hesitant. I didn't want to do that at first. I didn't want to get involved in what's called the foster care system, right, and kids that need a home, and I didn't want to do that. And I was saying, God, like, you got to just, like, make it so clear. Like, God, if you could one time speak to me from an audible voice, like, I wanted to hear from God, right? I can tell you this. Again, I didn't hear all the voice, but I was praying about something, and there was a specific situation one day that happened, and it's like, it might as well have been an audible voice. God was like, yes, this is my will. Do this. And I was just like, okay. Whoa! I'm telling you guys, he spoke to me through his word. And he wants to do that for you guys. It's not spooky. It's not like, whoa, it's so mystical. It's like ghosts and what's... No, it's not spooky. All right? In fact, do you guys know the Bible says that God is a... what? Spirit, right? God is a spirit. Now, he became a man, right? Jesus was a man, took on that human body. But we're created. We have human bodies, but we also have a spirit, the Bible says, within us, right? And God wants to speak to us. You know, he might speak to some of you this week about being saved. I don't know. I hope every one of you guys knows Jesus as your Savior. But maybe there's somebody here and you say, Mr. Will, I don't know if I died today. And I truly go to heaven. And my sins are forgiven. And maybe God wants to speak to somebody here about that this week. Say, hey, you got to get this taken care of. You got to be saved. You got to know for sure Jesus is your Savior. Maybe God wants to speak to some of you about being baptized. Maybe you haven't been baptized yet. And baptism has nothing to do with salvation, right? As far as getting to heaven. But it shows that we identify with Jesus. It shows what Jesus has done for us and that we want to follow him. And maybe some of you guys haven't been baptized yet after being saved. And God wants to speak to you and say, you need to be baptized. You need to obey God in that way. Maybe God wants to speak to some of you and say, hey, you got to start being nice to your brother and sister. You got to start, yeah, someone was like, you can't say that to me, right? Yeah. You need to start obeying your mom and dad. You need to start getting serious about reading my word, right? Again, I don't know what it is, but I guarantee this. I believe this with all my heart, young person. Everybody that's here, I don't know how many here, 40, 42, something like that, I think I counted on the list, right? Every single junior, and every single staff member, and every single, and myself, God has something to say to every one of us this week. Every one of us. And if we come again to every service, I would say, in every service, he has something to say to every one of us. Are we giving him time to speak? And let me give you a third thing, and I got to wrap this up here pretty soon, all right? So number one, God's word is precious. Secondly, God wants to speak to me. And thirdly, here's our response. I must be quick to obey. Will you say that with me? I must be quick to obey. Say it again. I must be quick to obey. One more time. I must be quick to obey. All right, now almost done. Hang with me. You guys are listening. Doing a fantastic job listening tonight, all right? So hang with me just for a couple minutes. It's important to note that the word heareth, all right, in verse number 10, when Samuel says, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, it's important to note that this word doesn't just mean that he was audibly listening, that sound was coming into his ears, okay? A lot of times, maybe you've heard your mom and dad say something like this, all right? Or, a lot of times husbands get a bad rap for this, right? And my wife will say this. My wife says, I told you that. And you know what I say? No, you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't. And she says, yes, I said that. Anybody else? Mr. Fry, has that ever happened? And Mrs. Fry, oh, I'm glad I'm not the only one. She says, I said, no, you did not say that. Right? And so what happens is that sometimes we hear sound in that sense, but we're not really listening. The word hear, again, in the original language, has the idea of hearing with the intent to obey. That's very important. All right? So when Samuel said, speak, I'm hearing, it's not just, okay, what do you got to say? Because I want to go back to bed. When he says, speak, thy servant heareth, the word there, the heart there is, God, whatever you say, I want to follow. I want to obey. And he shows us that because Samuel, at the end of 1 Samuel 3, does obey God. Now, he was a little fearful at first, and I would have been too, going to the priest and telling him, you're done, okay? And judgment's coming, all right? But Samuel shows us he did want to obey God because he obeys God. And he delivers to Eli that message of judgment. Listen, young person, all right, I'm almost done. If we want to know more of God, if we want to keep hearing his voice, allowing him to speak to us, then listen, we need to be quick to obey what he says to us. See, the problem is that when we're not quick to obey, we say, yeah, oh man, God's talking to me about this and this and this. But when we're not quick to obey it, then we really don't hear anything else, right? If we haven't obeyed what he clearly has said to us in the first place. And so it's so important that we have this heart of being quick to do whatever God tells us to do. Luke 6:46. Jesus said this. He said, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" So Jesus was talking to certain people, and he said, "You guys are calling me Lord," which means like master, right? But you're not doing what I say. In another place, Jesus said in John 14:15, "If ye love me," who knows what he said? "Keep my commandments." So if we say we love God, if we say we want to follow God, are we obeying what God has clearly said to us? Are we quick to obey him no matter what he says? You say, "Well, he's probably going to talk to me about that sin in my life that I know nobody else knows about, the sin in my life, and he's probably going to say..." Yeah, if you had the heart of God speak to me, he probably will talk to you about that. But you know what our response is? "Okay, God, I'll obey you. I'll obey you. It may be hard, but God, I'll obey." That's the heart that God can bless. Okay? So when God speaks to you this week, whether it's salvation, baptism, surrender, dealing with sin, getting in God's word, praying more, whatever it is, there's a lot of applications we'll talk about, right? When God speaks to you, all of us, I pray that we have the heart of, "Okay, I'm hearing, I'm hearing to obey. God, I want to be quick to obey. God, I want you to continue to bless and use me." Listen, your success, young person, Christian life, your fruitfulness to God, your ability to impact the lives of other people hinges on the door of your obedience to God. Will you obey God? You guys know the song, "Trust and Obey." For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and
obey.
Obey. So tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow night, if God gives us Wednesday, if God gives us Thursday, if God gives us this week, all this week, every cabin devotions, every personal devotions, every PCL, and every evening service, I want you guys to come. And you can pray softly to God and say, "God, I know your word's precious. And so, Lord, I know you want to speak to me. Lord, help me to be quick to obey whatever you say." And if you guys have that heart attitude this week, let me tell you, this is not an exaggeration. This is not just preacher talk. Well, you say, "Preachers just say that just to sound cool." No, no, no. This is not an exaggeration. God can literally change your life this week. If you understand his word is precious, and he wants to speak to you, and you say, "God, yes, I will obey. I'm going to be quick to obey." Now, again, somebody might say, "Brother Will, I'm like 7 years old. I'm 8 years old. I'm 10 years old." Like, that sounds a little bit fanatical. Like, God can change my life. Like, I go to church already. My family's in church, but God still wants to do things in your life. You know, when I was 8 years old, I say this and I'm done, right? I got to close. I'm done. When I was 8 years old, after I was saved, I knew when I was 8 years old that God wanted me to preach. I knew that. Now, I'm not saying for everybody here that if you walk away from this week at Servant's Heart Camp and you're like, "I don't know what God wants me to do," all right, that's okay. Okay, that's okay. Because a lot of people, God doesn't reveal that to them right away. Okay, but I knew God was saying, "You're going to be a preacher." And maybe this week, if you truly listen to God and you say, "God, I'm going to be quick to obey," maybe you'll leave this week and say, "Man, I think God wants me to be a missionary. I think God wants me to be a preacher. I think God wants me to marry a preacher. I think it's not weird to think those things at this young age, guys." God wants to get a hold of your heart. And right now is the time to say, "I'm going to serve God with my life. I'm going to be quick to obey whatever he says." All right? So say the three things, and then we'll be done. What are the three things? God's word is precious. God wants to speak to me. I must be quick to obey. Let's have our heads bowed, eyes closed, heads up, eyes closed, all right? I'm going to ask this question as the pianist comes. I'm not going to belabor this first night with an invitation. I'm not going to draw this out long. But I will ask this question as the pianist comes and starts softly playing a song of invitation. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many would say tonight, Mr. Will, I know that I am saved. I know that if I die, that I would go to heaven, that my sins are forgiven. I have trusted Jesus personally as my Savior. I know that. If you know that, just raise your hand, all right? No one's looking around. If you know, you say, I know for sure. I have trusted Jesus to be my Savior. All right, thank you very much. Thank you. You can put your hands down, all right? I'm going to ask you this, as the pianist can just start softly playing a song there. I'm going to ask you this. Is there anybody that would say, Mr. Will, I don't know. I don't know if I died tonight that I would go to heaven. I'm not sure about that. And would you please pray for me? All right, no one's looking around. Would you just slip your hand up and say, I don't know. I don't know if I died that I would go to heaven. I am not sure of that. Thank you. You can put those hands down. Thank you so much, all right? How many would say this, Mr. Will? Would you pray for me? I want to be quick to obey whatever God says to me this week. Would you please pray for me? Just raise your hand. Say, Mr. Will, I want to be quick to obey whatever God says this week. All right, you can put your hands down. As she plays, I'm not going to belabor this the first night, but if you need to talk to a counselor, if you're not sure you're saved, or if you have something else in your life that you need to talk to a counselor about, I would invite you just to go to the back right now. No one's looking around. You can just slip out of your seat and go to the back and find your counselor. If you're not sure you're saved, that'd be a great thing to do, all right? If you're not sure you're saved, or if you want to talk to someone else about something else, just slip to the back and go find your counselor, all right?